dear friends, we meet again for another exciting episode of Fireside Mystery Theater. The following original radio drama made its debut as part of our Strange Anatomy show, which we taped live at the Slipper Room on the 30th of October, 2016.
How we wish Gretchen Warden was still with us. She was certainly on our minds as we dreamed up this show we call Strange Anatomy. Now, Gretchen Warden, who left us too soon in 2004 at the age of 56, was at one time the director of the Mutter Museum in Philadelphia. It's a museum that houses a treasure trove of medical oddities, from the connected livers that belonged to conjoined twins Chang and Eng, to a preserved malignant tumor that was extracted from the hard palate of President Grover Cleveland. The Mutter Museum is the very definition of strange anatomy. With Warden at the helm, the visitorship of the museum went from a paltry few hundred a year to over 60,000 people a year. She was a frequent guest on Late Night with David Letterman, gleefully terrifying the talk show host with creepy artifacts and curios. But in spite of her well-loved dark sense of humor, Warden was a woman who approached her work with great sensitivity, reverence, and awe. She once said, "While these bodies may be ugly, there is a terrifying beauty in the spirits of those forced to endure these afflictions." I wonder what she would have thought of the following story by Sylvan Sandovar, The Flight of the Silver Swan, about one such ugly body and one such beautiful spirit. This is the first time I've ever tried to keep a journal in my life. I really don't think much of writing. I don't care too much for books or reading. I never have, but there's no one I can tell any of this to. I dare not say any of these things out loud. My parents are gone. I have no siblings. My husband is dead. No one I know would understand. It's just me and my daughter, Jessie. Jessie will be 17 soon. Jessie. Oh, Jessie. My baby. You're going to be a woman soon, and still you've hardly ever left this house. How could you? You're too sick to go anywhere, and people in this world can't handle the sight of you. Oh, God bless you. You have the body of a monster, and the soul of an angel. You only seem to get sicker, and the swelling won't let up. For some reason, God allows you to keep on living. Forgive me, Lord, but I don't know why you do. There have been times I've stood over her bed while she sleeps, ready to press that pillow over her face. Then I start to cry and lose the nerve. I come to my senses, and I remember my love for her. She's my only baby. I love you, Jessie girl. But I've given away everything I have or ever have hoped to have just to take care of you. We're both prisoners in this little shack of a house. I've lived for no one else. I've sacrificed everything the way good natural mothers are supposed to do. We hardly get by on my wage, but I've done it for years without complaining. But now I'm starting to become scared of myself. I don't think I can do this anymore. Not alone. Don't I deserve a little happiness? Is it so wrong to ask that out of life? Do other mothers with very sick children in similar situations have thoughts like this? If a child is mentally retarded or crippled and can't do anything for himself, do their parents ever feel like I do now? Everyone I know has normal, healthy children. How would they know? The guilt is suffocating. Sometimes I want to die, but I'm all she has. That's what I have to keep reminding myself. She has no one else. She's still my baby. I carried her in me, and she is of my blood. Yes, I must stand by her, no matter what. Oh, these awful thoughts and feelings must not go past the pages of this diary. If only I wasn't so alone. I've tried to bring a man back into this house. I've tried. Well, while I still have my looks. I'm so glad to finally have you come over, Reverend.
It's about time you started calling me John, Tammy.
John. John.
Yes. Tammy, you seem nervous.
Do I seem nervous, Reverend? I mean John.
Yes. Yes, you do. Come here.
Oh, I love how you hold me, John.
Relax. It's okay. Just relax, dear. I feel like you're just starting to let me into your life. I get the sense that things have been hard on you. Well, you told me you lost your husband at a young age, in that mill accident. I'll tell you something about me in return. I, too, was married once before, you know?
You were? Really?
Mm-hmm. Mary Sue was her name. Leukemia. Just 33 years old.
Oh, I'm so sorry, John. I had no idea.
It's taken me a long time to recover from that.
Then you understand.
I know what it's like, is what I'm trying to say. You're the first woman I've seen since Mary Sue's passing.
Oh, John, there's something.
There's no need to say any more about it. Take my hand, dear. If I may borrow a verse from the scriptures, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be strong, and may your heart be stout. Wait on the Lord. Kiss me, Tammy. What was that?
Oh.
I thought you said you lived alone. Is there someone else here?
I wanted to tell you, John, but I wasn't sure how you.
Who is it, Tammy? It sounds like a sick person.
Yes. Yes. She's very sick.
And why didn't you tell me?
I wanted to. It was so difficult, though.
Who is that person upstairs?
That's my daughter, Jessie.
Why would you hide such a thing from me, Tammy?
I was going to tell you tonight. That's why I agreed to have you over.
She's your daughter from a past marriage?
Yes.
And she's very ill and sickly?
Very much so.
And you thought my knowing this would...
Drive you away! She's driven them all away!
Who has she driven away? Other suitors? Well, I doubt they were clergymen like me. You actually believed I would think less of you for having a daughter who is...
I've been so lonely. It's just been her and me in this house for a very long time.
The poor child. What is the disease from which she suffers?
It's like nothing anyone has ever seen. The doctors I've taken her to haven't been able to offer up much in the way of help.
Is what she has contagious? Like leprosy?
It's just as bad in some ways. But no, it's not contagious.
Take me upstairs.
No, I don't think...
It's all right. I was a chaplain in the Great War. I've seen human bodies close up in its absolute worst conditions. Please take me upstairs, and together we shall pray.
Please, John, can't you and I just sit here for a while and...
Tammy, your child is suffering. We should go to her now.
All right. This way. Mother! John, I feel it's only right that I should prepare you.
It's all right, Tammy. Please open this door. It's very dark in here. The shades are drawn, too.
That's how she likes it to be, John. She can't be exposed to the light for too long.
Mother, who is this?
This is Reverend John McNally. He's a good friend of mine. He wanted to see you.
A man of God. How wonderful. Wait. Don't let him see me. Pull the blanket over me first.
It's all right, my child. I'm not here to judge you.
Mother, I'm afraid.
Don't worry, my child. I've seen men torn in half, bodies burned beyond recognition. I am here to deliver counsel and comfort of our dear Savior. Please, give me your hand.
Mother.
Do as the Reverend says, Jesse. Go on, Jesse. Give him your hand.
Come, child.
Give him your hand. Show him. There was a thin sliver of light coming from an opening in the window shade. Just enough light so that he might look upon Jesse's hand. That was all he needed to see. His eyes widened in animal fear, and his lower jaw collapsed in a fit of trembling. I could tell he wanted to scream, but he couldn't. He stumbled down the stairs and nearly took the porch door off the frame as he spilled out onto the front lawn and disappeared into fading twilight. I visited his church one time after that. He would not look at or even acknowledge me as I sat there among the congregation.
Do you know what I wish, Mother?
Dear, please, lift a little this way so Mother can scrub you over here.
I know I can't go to school, but I wish I could learn to read and to write.
But you can't hold a pen, let alone a book, my dear. Besides, I let you listen to the radio. There's people who read from books on the radio sometimes.
Yes, I suppose that's true. I like Anne of the Air Lanes. Have you heard that one yet?
No, I haven't.
She's a girl, and she has adventures on airplanes. I wish I could fly like her. And I like the lady who tells the old fairy tales on Sunday nights.
Oh, you're getting a little too old for programs like that, don't you think?
I don't know. Mother, it's cold in here.
Well, we're going to be without heat for a little while. It was either pay that bill or not eat this week. Please, hold still, Jesse. Jesse, look what you made me do. Why can't you just...
Mother, are you all right?
I cut my wrist on that... piece of shattered pitcher. Oh my God, I'm bleeding. Oh, bleeding badly.
Mother!
I've got to get to a doctor quick. If I don't get to a doctor in time,
It's okay, Mother. I'm coming to you.
Jesse, what are you doing?
I'm coming.
Jesse, no! Oh!
Oh, my God. The blood. Oh.
I've got you, Mother.
Jesse, no! What are you doing?
I'm here. Jesse's here. I can help.
What are you doing, Jesse? Let me go.
Oh. It's all right, Mother.
Let go of me. Let go.
It's all right.
Oh, let me go. Just let go.
You'll be all right. Mother?
Jesse? What did you just do? My wrist, the blood, it stopped bleeding. The cash, it's gone.
It is, isn't it?
What did you do? How did you do that?
I don't know. I just wanted to help you. You're always helping me.
I was bleeding badly just a few seconds ago. You saw it too, right? I know I didn't imagine it. I mean, there's still all this blood on the floor.
I don't know, Mother. I just wanted to help.
Could you do that again for me, Jesse, honey?
I could try.
Okay. I'm going to take this piece of the broken pitcher and I'm going to cut my hand.
Mother, don't do that.
There. I'm bleeding. Touch me again. Please, Jesse, do as I say.
Good Lord. The cut is healed.
Jesse, dear, our visitors have arrived. I'd like to bring them in.
Mother, I can't. Not another one?
You have to, dear. Please, do it for me. For us.
Every time I help someone, I feel sick. Like I'm going to die.
You won't die.
Yes, I will. If only I could make myself better. It doesn't seem to work that way, does it?
Jesse, we need the money. I've lost my job, and the relief money is not enough. These folks outside have traveled from far away to be here, and they've paid good money.
Mother...
You can help them. I know you can.
Okay, Mother. I'll do it for you. But can this be the last time?
I'm going to let them in now. Come in, Mr. and Mrs. Ansel. Jesse, meet Mr. Dan Ansel and his wife, Jane. They've come all the way from Bueller Falls just to see you. Come in, friends.
So dark in here.
It's all right, Mrs. Ansel. Mrs. Ansel has brought her husband here, Jesse. You wouldn't believe it, but Mr. Ansel is a young man. He suffers from a rare condition. And he needs these canes and braces to walk. He's lost the ability to speak. You see how his hands tremble?
I can't see anywhere.
Where are your manners, Jesse? Say hello to our guests.
I said say hello, Jesse. I'm getting an uneasy feeling here. I don't like this at all. If this is some kind of hoax or some...
It is not. If your husband does not improve immediately, you don't owe us a penny. Let's you and I help him walk to Jesse's bedside. There now, let me help you. Rest his canes right here.
Gentle now.
Let me take Mr. Ansel's hand. Now, Jesse, take Mr. Ansel's hand. Jesse, I said take Mr. Ansel's hand. Good girl. Just let her touch his hand for a little bit. A little bit and... Just a little bit longer.
Yes. Yes, I can...
Oh, darling. Oh, you're speaking.
can move my mouth.
Oh, oh Dan! Oh.
What's just happened here? Oh. I feel much better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm standing on my own. This is unbelievable, Miss. I never in my whole life took much stock in religion or God, but my God, how has this happened? Take these damn braces off me. I want to thank you, Jesse.
It was our pleasure. Jesse, the nice man, is thanking you. Jesse, say something.
You're welcome.
Oh, Jesse, dear. I promise this is the last time. I promise.
So, you've explained everything to your daughter, then?
Mostly.
She knows when she comes with me where she'll be going?
She's always wanted to see the world, Mr. Kenny. Now will be her chance.
In a sense. She'll be inside of a carnival tent most of the time, but I treat my freaks better than anyone else. Just ask around. She'll have a good home. Plenty of new friends to help look after her.
I don't want to do this, but we need the money. I can't afford to keep her anymore.
It's all right, ma'am. You mustn't cry now. Charity begins at home, as they say, right? We'll take very good care of her. I'll mail her check on the first of each month. I could send a money order, if you prefer, to this address, correct? Very good. Eddie, you all set, bud?
Yes, boss.
Now, Eddie, just a word before we go in there. Now, I already got a peek at her, so I'm prepared. Now, we've seen all sorts of deformities of the people in our line of work. Some so skin-crawling that we're forever mopping up puke and keeping fainting women from getting their skirts all covered in sawdust. But this one tops them all.
I can handle it, boss.
If you say so. Now, it's going to take the two of us to get her out of the room, down the stairs and into the trunk. Her hands and feet are the size of... Jeez, I don't know what else to compare them to. We're going to have to bind them together when we're bringing her down the stairs, I think.
I have plenty of cord.
And that face of hers. Oh, boy. She is going to be quite a sensation, I tell you. Okay, ma'am. May we enter?
Yes.
Jesse, dear, may I come in?
Come in, Mother.
Jesse, this is the man I told you about, Mr. Foster Kenny.
Hello, young lady.
Hello.
I have your things all packed. Did I forget anything?
I don't think so. There wasn't much to pack.
Okay.
Don't cry, Mother. We're not going to be poor anymore. Please don't cry, Mother. You've sacrificed everything for me. It's my turn to pay you back.
Eddie, where are you, old boy? Eddie, come in, lad.
Saints in heaven.
I tried to tell you, Eddie.
God.
Yeah, tough guy, huh? Yeah.
I've never.
Easy, pal, you're changing color there. Eddie, what's wrong? Eddie! Lady, please, we need to call a doc. I think it's his heart.
I'll have to borrow the neighbor's phone next door.
Well, okay then, hurry.
Mother, bring him closer to me.
Are you sure?
Hurry, there's no time.
What are you doing, lady? Let go of him.
Can you reach him?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to call the doctor then.
Wait, Mr. Foster.
What just happened to me?
Eddie, are you okay, son?
I feel fine. What just happened here?
This is a little too strange, even for me.
You saved my life, didn't you? Didn't you, Miss? Miss.
That's because I'm a silver swan. I've always been a great silver swan.
he had been sick, sick so very long. But she heard about Jesus passing by, so she joined the gathering song. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, "What are you trying to do?" She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." She cried, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." Oh, she spent her money here and there until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could. The medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see. He turned around and cried, "Somebody touch me." She said, "It was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now." Crying, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord." Said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole right now." She said, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole right now."
This word from one of our sponsors.
Hey, Mac, where can I find a lavatory in this here joint?
Oh, hey there, Mikey Brooklyn. You see back there? All you gotta do is go to the end of the hallway. Then turn left by the kitchen, and then you're gonna see a set of stairs. But don't go up the stairs. Just walk past the stairs, and then you're gonna see a couple
Never mind. I'm sure I can find them myself.
For crying out loud.
Ah, this must be it. What the? Where am I? What the hell did I just walk into over here? I thought the door said lavatory.
No, it says laboratory.
Who said that?
Me.
You? But you're just a...
Yeah, I know. I'm just a brain in a jar.
Hey, why so glum, chum? You look pretty good for a loose organ floating around in a jar to me.
If you say so.
At least you still have your mind, more than I could say for most knuckleheads out there. And your voice sounds really cool with all that reverb, by the way.
What good is any of that when you're destined to spend eternity preserved in formaldehyde?
Ah, I see what you mean there. But wait, I just got an idea.
What are you doing? Put me down.
Trust me, what's your name?
Brian. Brian the Brain. Please put me down.
Hey, take it easy, Bri Guy. From now on, my friend. From now on, you're not just going to be pickled, you're going to be tickled. Then I'm going to put you here for just a second.
Okay.
And I'm going to swap out that flat and funky formaldehyde with an extra large batch of one of my specialty signature cocktails made with cordially Brooklyn syrups and shrubs. You don't mind a little shrub in there with you, do you?
Oh, well, that's genius. Please don't tell me it's a mind eraser.
Come on, please don't insult me like that, Brian. I have this thing called, you know, integrity. Now out you go, formaldehyde. And in you go, magic elixir.
Oh, that feels so good. Life is good again. Thanks, Mikey Brooklyn.
Hey, I still got a little extra left. Maybe I should drink the rest myself.
Oh, hey, don't hold out on me.
Hey, I'm just kidding. There you go, bud.
No, you're such a brain teaser, Mikey Brooklyn.
Listen to your friend, Mikey Brooklyn. Only brain-dead people drink signature cocktails that are made without integrity. Cordially Brooklyn is focused on making small batched organic shrubs for professionals and home bartenders alike using only the finest local ingredients. Get hip, chip, and get all the info at cordiallybrooklyn.com and start drinking like an actual person today.
And that concludes our program. Jesse was played by Mary Murphy. John was played by Eric Davey Gislason. Dan Ansel was played by Bill Heidrich. Mrs. Ansel was played by Annabelle Rollison. Foster Kenny was played by James Reeser. Eddie was played by Michael Pate. And I played the part of Tammy. The musical performance, Touch the Hem of His Garment, by Sam Cooke, was arranged and performed by Martina Da Silva, accompanied by Jason Yeager. Our show was directed by Annabelle Rollison and produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and myself for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our theme music is by Jason Graves, our musical score was improvised by Jason Yeager, our sound designer is Greg Russ, our technical director is Johnny Goddard, our production coordinator is Dahlia Morali, and our production assistant is Brontis Shane Orengo. Next week, we have a sneak peek of Fireside Mystery Theater's brand new podcast episodes from our Holiday Haunts show. And you darling fans in the New Jersey area can see it for yourself live. Join us this coming Sunday afternoon for our delightfully dark holiday show. We'll be at the Bickford Theater at the Morris Museum. It is this Sunday, the 4th of December at 3 p.m. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at morrismuseum.org. This is your faithful companion in darkness, Ali Silva. You may keep to the fringes of the light as we both mind the shadows.